Are we all happy?
Yes.
Are we awake?
Yes.
Yes, it's nice to be in the house of Lord with thanksgiving. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, as we are here, we bring our hearts with thanksgiving. Lord, we pray for today. Lord, whatever we hear from your word, be fruitful in our lives. People are here and people are on the way. Lord, bless them and bring them safely. We bless this church, we bless this building and surrounding, Lord. We pray for your protection, for your grace and mercy, for your shower of blessings, Lord. Lord, as the goose fear going on, Lord, we ask for your safety and protection in the park, Lord, and people come, enjoy, and go back safely to their homes, Lord. And these 10 days, Lord, you be with us, be with people in the fair, and Lord, bless this building as people go through, pass by here, and when they read that love Jesus, love others, and make disciples, they be blessed by these words, Lord. And Lord, as we pray in our homes, in our groups, in our cell groups, Lord, you bless the congregation and bless all the people that come in our contact. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We welcome Pastor Curtis Murphy. He is going to lead the service today and he will share the word of God today. And we may be very, very blessed by the word today. I welcome Pastor Curtis and come and bless us.
Very good morning to you.
Morning.
It's always a joy to come and be with you and have fellowship together. Because the screen doesn't seem to be working quite so well today, we won't have a responsive reading because you won't be able to know what to respond to. They're just pressing a button. Let's pray that the technology will come alive. Our call to prayer, to worship, comes from Psalm 121, 121. If you have a Bible near to you, maybe you would like to flick its pages. If you have a device, I will permit you to look at it for the scripture. I know we all have these little hand things, but may I just say, let's keep using the book. It feels better. I'm old-fashioned. And if that comes on, we will do the responsive. If not, I don't want to take your time up because there's a lot of things happening today in Nottingham. You've got the fair down there that's called Goose, and you've got a half marathon that's called Robin Hood. So there's a lot happening along there. Let's begin then. If I lift up mine eyes onto the hills, where does my help come from? My help comes only from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. How could he let your foot stumble? How could he, your guardian, sleep? The guardian of Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your guardian, your defense at your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will guard you against all evil. He will guard you, body and soul. The Lord will guard your going and your coming, now and forevermore. Amen. May I invite you to stand and sing with me hymn 301. Jesus shall reign where'er the sun. Look at that. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Just keep the elastic going. Let's stand together. We are so grateful that we have a God who knows us and loves us and cares for us. We thank you for bringing us to this place. We know that we don't need to invite your presence, because your promise is that where two or three are gathered in your name, you are always there to bless. Accept our worship this morning. May your name be honored, glorified and praised, and may we know each other as brother and sister in Christ, for we thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Our second hymn is What a Friend We Have in Jesus, and during this, those of you who do have some offering, please do come forward and bring it. Yes, thank you for those who came first. There's always room at the cross. So we'll sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Now, some of you know the bits in the middle, don't you? Okay, I'll lead some of the bits in the middle, and you can follow me. Ready? Off to you. Oh, beautiful. Please be seated. And may I just express my great appreciation to these gentlemen who lead our singing every time I'm here. They are so good. For the musicians, I'm going to say amen. Amen and amen. It's time for our scripture reading. I'm not too sure if anybody was invited to do it. If not, that's okay. I will read it. You are good, my friend. Come along. I had a suspicion something was said.
Good morning, all. This morning reading is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verses 16 to 24. And he said to the woman, I will increase your trouble in pregnancy and your pain in giving birth. In spite of this, you will still have the desire for your husband. Yet you will be a subject to him. And he said to man, you listened to your wife and ate the fruit which I told you not to eat. Because of what you have done, the ground will be under a curse, and you will have to work hard all your life to make it produce enough food for you. It will produce weeds and thorns, and you'll have to eat wild plants. You will have to work hard and sweat to make the soil produce anything, until you go back to the soil from which you were formed. You were made from the soil, and you'll become the soil again. Adam named his wife Eve, because she was the mother of all human beings. And the Lord God made clothes out of animal skins for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. Then the Lord God said, now that man has become one of us and has knowledge of what is good and what is bad, he must not be allowed to take the fruit from the tree that gives life, eat it, and live forever. So the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden and made him cultivate his soil from which he had been formed. Then at the east of the garden, he put living creatures and a flaming sword which turned to all direction. This was to keep everyone from coming near the tree that gives life. This is the word of God.
Amen.
Unfortunately, I said no to the lapel bike, forgetting that is my custom to kneel. But please forgive me. I need to stand and speak to the mic this morning. As we prepare our hearts for the prayer of intercession, shall we adopt an attitude of prayer as we pray together? Heavenly Father, at the invitation of Jesus, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we come boldly to your throne this morning, not presuming to come in our strength, but to come because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has promised that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, thank you for that forgiveness. And having been made right through the blood of Jesus, we humbly ask that you will hear our prayer today as we intercede on behalf of our congregation, our loved ones, our community, our country, and the rulers of governments within this world. We pray for every family member here today and those that they represent. We know that the family was your plan from the very beginning, but we have become so dysfunctional that our homes are not always the haven of peace that you would have it be. Where there is strife in the family, intervene, Lord, and bring harmony and peace. Where there are problems with finance, we pray once more that you will step in, because we recognize that the silver and gold is yours, yea, even the cattle upon 1,000 hills belong to you. And you have promised that you will open the windows of heaven and that you will bless us according to our need. We know too that there is sickness in our community, yes, even in our own families. You know who they are and you know what their needs are. Once more we pray that you will extend your hand of healing, that those who are today suffering may find relief from their pains, from their sickness, from their ill health. For there is no physician that is as good as you. You are the great physician. We pray for those, as we've already mentioned, who will be attending the Goose Fair. We know that there are people there who want to harm others. Put your angels around your people. Guard them, protect them. May they enjoy that time that they spend together. We pray for our country. We recognize, Lord, that you still rule in the kingdoms of men. We ask that you'll give wisdom as the new government begin to lead. May they do so under your hand. We know the world is at war. We think of Israel and Gaza and Palestine there. We think of Ukraine and Russia, Lebanon. We think of the drug cartels that are at war with each other. Father, this was never a part of your plan, but we know that you still have the power to intervene. We ask that you will help and step in. And Lord, your word tells us that we should pray also for kings. We pray for our king here in England, that he may remember that his authority comes from you, and that he needs to look to the true King, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. We thank you that you hear our prayer. Where we have asked in a way that is not pleasing, presumptuously forgive us. And those things that we have failed to ask of you, please, Father, grant them to us, because you have said we have not because we ask not. We're asking you that your will may be done, and grant us your peace now, for we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. And so as we prepare to stand and sing another hymn, I will sing the wondrous story. We'll say to the children, it's time for you to leave us. So shall we stand and sing the wondrous story of Jesus and his love? be seated. Genesis chapter 3, verse 23 and 4. Therefore the Lord God sent them out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove them out, both man and woman, placed cherub at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned each way to guard the way to the tree of life. My subject this morning is, where do I go from here? Father God, we would not presume to go through your word without first asking that the spirit that inspired the pen may also inspire our hearts, so that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts is acceptable in your sight. And we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. For me, my home in St. Vincent was like a paradise. Yes, we had very little of the modern conveniences that I have today, but it still was excellent. I have become so used to turning on a light at night, showering in the morning, bathing, scrubbing my teeth at the sink, drying my hair with a hair dryer. Yes, I do it. Blow dry my hair. Combing said hair in front of a mirror and not having to visit the latrine in the darkness of the night when all the night animals are around. One might argue that not having to do that would make where I am paradise. But as a child, that which I had still brings feelings of warmth, security, freedom, and the joy of being there. Naturally, the joy of being alive still exists in me, in my very being. Of course, there were times of struggles then, even as they are today. Then, my mom was in Canada for most of the time with my youngest sister, my baby sister. And so my older sister, Cammie, her actual name is Jeanette Carmelita. So we called her Cammie. That's how it went over there. Cammie and I, we stayed with my grandparents and life progressed. I missed my mom sometimes. My dad was already in England. He came in 1955, but we never heard from him. There were no phones in those days, and Dad really didn't write a lot of letters. So I can't say that I ever missed my dad. I'm not sure that I felt lonely or that anything was lacking in my life. Today I'm an orphan, I'm a widower, I'm a father and a grandfather. I miss my parents, I miss my younger sister, Jem. Vicky's parents are also asleep in the Lord. I had the privilege of officiating at all of their funerals, and I miss my wife, Vicky. Even though I have the trappings of a first world country, the innocence of my childhood, climbing trees, jumping into the river, eating freely of the mangoes and the golden apples, you call them Duplos, you know, same thing. Guavas, even the cashew fruit, we would take the nut and throw it away because it would blister your lip if it was green, you know. Or even though that was going on, yes, despite the trappings of today, St. Vincent was wonderful. We arrived at the port of Southampton on the 31st of May 1960, and we disembarked on the 1st of June of that year. We travelled by train to Snow Hill Station, Birmingham, and then we went on to Edgbaston in Birmingham. And when Mum discovered that we were to live in one room in a house that already had 11 other tenants, plus the landlady, she said, and has always said, if I had the money, I would have gone straight back to St. Vincent. It was one of those, where do I go from here, moments. Adam and Eve lived in a paradise. There's no doubt about that. There has never been a place on earth that can compare to what they had before the fall. We have designer this and designer that. We have tailor-made suits and dresses, cars, bicycles, the list goes on, but nothing that we can make or imagine compares to the paradise in which Adam and Eve lived. That had been designed and tailor-made especially and specifically for them, and made by He who had created everything, and at the end of that creation, He said that everything was very good. And now they were banished from that home in paradise. Question, where do they go from here? God had said, the very ground is cursed because of you. Getting food from the ground will be as painful as having babies is for your wife. You'll be working in pain all your life long. The ground will sprout thorns and weeds. You'll get your food the hard way, planting and tilling and harvesting, sweating in the fields from dawn to dusk, until you return to that ground yourself, dead and buried. You started out as dirt. You'll end up as dirt. Genesis 3, 17 to 19, the Message translation. And so, it was downhill all the way from then on. Remember Jonah? Chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Arise, go to Nineveh. Verse 3. But Jonah went to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found the ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Verse 4 tells me, but there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. And every man cried out to his God, but Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him. Arise, call on your God. What is your occupation? And where do you come from? And what is your country? And of what people are you? Verse 9 says, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. The captain answered, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. Verse 12 says, and he said, pick me up and throw me into the sea. So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow him, and Jonah went in the belly of the fish, and in my imagination, that fish also went down, down, down. When we leave God, the only direction is down, down, down.
Remember the prodigal son? Story there in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. The boy had everything that he needed right there at home. But he still wasn't satisfied. What he had wasn't enough. He wanted his share of the property, and he wanted it now. It's a bit like the chant that we used to hear on the picket lines, and we still hear it now at protest meetings. Somebody will shout, "What do we want?" And the echo will come back, "A 15% pay rise." And then they will shout, "When do we want it?" And everybody will say, "Now." That was the prodigal. He wanted it now. And so he packed his bags and left for a distant country, the Bible tells me. There, undisciplined and dissipated, he wasted everything he had. After he had gone through all of his money, there was a bad famine all throughout the country, and he began to feel his need. He signed on with a citizen who assigned him the job of feeding the pigs in the field. He was so hungry, he would have eaten the corn cobs in the pig swill, for no one would give him anything. Where do I go from here? Let's return to Adam and Eve for a moment. Genesis 3, verse 23. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. I spluttered. Let me read that again. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. Was that reasonable? Was that fair? I'd say no. I'll repeat. No. No, that was not fair. That was not reasonable. Why? Genesis 3, 16 and 17. God said, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die." Their disobedience, their disregard to the clear and explicit instructions from God had given them that those instructions demanded, yes, I'll say demanded, that the consequence of their actions should have followed through. They deliberately disobeyed God. And the consequence of that disobedience would have been fair and would have been reasonable. If I choose to jump in front of a train that's traveling at 60 miles, as a fourth, even 20 miles an hour, the expected outcome would be death. Death would be a reasonable result. But instead of that which is reasonable, God did the unreasonable, the unexpected. God gave them a promise, his promise. Genesis 3:15, God told the serpent, "Because you've done this, you cursed. Cursed beyond all cattle and wild animals. Cursed to slink on your belly and eat dirt all your life. I'm declaring war between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He'll crush your head. You'll wound his heel." The Bible tells me that immediately they ate the fruit, even their dignity was gone. Verse 10 says, "Adam answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.' They stood condemned. They stood under a death sentence. They stood naked on death row. But God did not leave them in their shame, in their embarrassment, in their disgrace. The Bible tells me in verse 21, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Here's a phrase that you may have heard me use before. It says, when we are down to nothing, God is always up to something. He made them a promise of a way out. And so he killed an animal. And with the skin of that animal that was slain from the foundation of the earth, he formed garments that would cover the evidence of their sin, the evidence of their shame, that would cover their nakedness. The Bible tells me in Revelation 3 and verse 7, it was granted to him, the serpent, to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth would worship him, whose names were not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Paul writes of our condition in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. He says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. That also was our condition. Dead in our trespasses, our transgressions, and sin. Walking away from paradise, Adam and Eve would now live in a world that had been cursed because of their disobedience, because of their willfulness, because they did not trust the word of their Creator God. But they were not on their own. Yes, they were now surrounded by a threatening darkness, a threatening environment, a hostile animal zone. They will know and see what death is. They will feel and experience the whole pain of a loved one dying, for Cain murdered his brother Abel. They will feel the banishment of Cain from their firstborn. The Bible tells us that after the coming together of Adam and his wife Eve, a seed was born, a man-child was born, a man gotten of God. Could this be the fulfillment of God's promise in Genesis 3:15? Might the separation from God be over now? But all hope was dashed when Cain murdered Abel. Jesus said to his disciples in Mark chapter 8, verse 31, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. Mark also wrote in chapter 15, 37, Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. Mark continues in verse 43, Joseph of Arimathea sought permission to take care of Jesus' dead body. Then he bought fine linen, took him down, wrapped him in the linen, and he laid him in a tomb which had been hewed out of the rock and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Jesus was dead. all hope seemed to have gone. A tomb held the body of their beloved Savior. Where do I go from here? The songwriter puts it this way. They all walked away, nothing to say. They'd just lost their dearest friend. All that he said, now he was dead. So this was the way it would end. The dreams that they dreamed were not what they seemed. Now that he was dead and gone, the garden, the jail, the hammer, the nail. How could a night be so long? Then came the morning. Night turned into day. The stone was rolled away. Hope rose with the dawn. Then came the morning. Shadows vanished before the sun. Death had lost and life had won, for morning had come. I don't know what might be on your mind, what your challenges are, what is disturbing your peace, if there is anything that's challenging your mind. Perhaps you are not in a where do I go from here state of mind. As we consider the world around us, we see things happening over which we have absolutely no control. One moment, we are okay, then suddenly everything seems to change. One Sunday a few weeks ago, Luda, you know, I have been housing a Ukrainian family. The mum's name is Ludmila. She's called Luda for short. One Sunday morning, Ludmila had a phone call from her mother there in Moldova to say that her aunt had died. Her aunt had gone into town to shop, had bought everything she needed, went back to the bus station, bought her ticket, sat down in the shelter waiting for the bus to come and take her home, and she died. Sitting there in the bus shelter, Luda's aunt died. She had a heart attack. Much is said about the time of trouble to come, yet some of us are going through those times of trouble even today. Where do I go from here? God demonstrated in the Garden of Eden that even though the only reasonable expectation of mankind is the wages of sin, yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Even though we stand before God uncovered, the blood of His begotten Son covers us. Though we stand in the filthy rags of our own self-righteousness, He is able to clothe us with His robes of righteousness. Though we stand surrounded by wars and strife on every hand, even with violence that fills our land, we do not stand alone. For as Paul writes in Hebrews 12 and verse 5, He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So where do I go from here? Jesus said, fear not. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. where do I go from here? Paul to the Philippians in chapter 3, verse 12, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has already laid hold of for me. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Where do I go from here? Hebrews 11:8. Abraham, by faith, obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city whose foundations and builders is made by God. Where do I go from here? My answer, sweet Beulah Land. I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, for time won't matter anymore. Beulah Land, I'm longing for you. And someday on thee I'll stand. There my home shall be eternal. Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land. I'm looking now just across the river to where by faith shall end in sight. That's just a few more days to labor. Then I will take my heavenly flight. And how is this possible, beloved? Not because I've earned it. Not because I deserve it. Not because it's fair and reasonable. But because of a promise given by the same Jesus who, instead of giving Adam and Eve what they deserved, he gave them his promise. And that promise is the same promise that he has given to you and to me. Listen to the words of this poem. I died for you. I'd do it all again if I had to show you what you really mean to me. I cried for you. I hung on a cross so you wouldn't have to. I made a way to set you free. That's how much I love you. That's how much I want you. I gave up my life that you might live. That's how much I love you. That's how much I want you to see you are my child and you mean so much to me. I gave you the stars, the sun, the moon. Yes, I went that far. So no matter where you go, you think of me. The mountains fair, the beautiful oceans are there to remind you that I can satisfy your every need. That's how much I love you. That's how much I want you. I gave up my life that you might live. That's how much I love you. That's how much I want you to see that you are my child. And you mean so much to me. Where do I go from here? I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. You can sing it with me. Oh. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun, way beyond the blue. Do Lord, oh, do Lord, Lord, remember me. Do Lord, oh, do Lord, Lord, remember me. Do Lord, oh, do Lord, Lord, remember me beyond the blue. Where do I go from here? I'm going home with Jesus. What about you, my brothers and sisters? Where do you want to go from here? How about a place that God has gone to prepare for you and for me? The promised land. A new heaven. A new earth. The Bible says, wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's where I want to go from here. If that is what you want and you want to join me, why don't you bow your heads with me as we pray? Father God, we are tired of the pain in this world. We know where we want to go. And you've promised that you have gone to prepare a city whose builder and maker is God. We want to be with you. Come, Lord Jesus, and take us home, we pray. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste. You know what that means? It's like when you're making the soup and you take a spoonful out and you taste it just to make sure it's good. It's a foretaste of glory divine, heirs of salvation, purchased of blood, purchased of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. Let's stand and sing this song with great enthusiasm together. Dismiss us now with your blessing as we ask that the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord will lift up the light of his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.